Let's hear the word of God from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his child. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." Well, here we are with our church text for the from a letter that was written to a church that needed to endure. We don't know too much about the church that this letter was written to, but what we do know is that they were going through a hard time of things, and we know that things were likely to get worse rather than better. It was becoming tougher in that place to be a Christian. And because it was becoming tougher, some people who are in the church were slacking off a bit. Some of them were not treating their faith with the seriousness that they had before. And the letter of Hebrews is written to remind them of who Jesus is and to remind them of the great task that God has given to them. Now, we're running a race. The obvious question to ask, I think, is who are we racing against? I mean, if we're in a race, there's a competition here that we want to win. Okay, we are not racing against each other. It is not a competition between me and you as to who is the better Christian. That's not important. Neither are we racing against other churches. It's not a competition between us and other churches. They are our brothers and sisters. We are in the same team. No, the race is between us and those who do not want to see the church succeeding. The race is between us and those who stand against the gospel of Jesus. And God has called us into this race and said to us, "I want you to win." And as I said earlier on in the service, when the New Testament talks about a race, it's not always just talking about a race in the sense of a running race. It's about all sorts of competition. So at one point, it's translated about fighting the good fight. Here are Christians who are locked in a struggle, in a contest with those who don't want us to succeed, and we have been called to succeed. And the verse goes on to talk about staying on the track that God has given us. There is a race. There is a competition. There is a contest. There is a task that God has given to his people. And he says to us in 2012, stay on the track. Keep competing. Keep working for the victory of the Christian gospel. And as is often being said nowadays, but I think it needs to be emphasized again and again, being a Christian is not about getting to heaven when you die. There are glorious things for those who are in Christ happening after we die. There is a finish line, and my goodness me, it's going to be some finish line. But being a Christian is about running the race between here and then. Running the race is running and keeping running. As we had with that illustration with the boys this morning, we run and we keep running. And we want it to be that as we pass that finishing line, we are still running. So this race encourages us to say, in 2012, I'm going to do everything that I can so that the church will be the winner. And we think of athletes who go into strict training regimes so that they can win. Now, I want to pick out this morning three things from Hebrews chapter 12, which are about how we win as Christian believers. The first one is to get rid of anything that holds us back. Now, this is really important. I have been told, I'm not quite sure about this, but I have been told that in those days the men actually ran naked as they were in the Olympic Games. Which was one of the reasons it was a big thing for the Jews, but that's another story. But the athlete would seriously shed anything that was going to get in the way. I mean, can you imagine? You know, it's the 100 meters final at the Olympics, and the athletes come out, and they've got backpacks on their back with heavy weights on them. We'd think they were crazy. Of course, they would take it off. Can you imagine them also sort of going down the track and digging holes in the track just to make it difficult to run down? Do you know, the Christian life is difficult enough without us making it more difficult than it has to be. So the person who wrote this letter is saying to us, okay, you're in this race, you're in this contest, you want to win, then get rid of anything that could hold you back. And in particular, he talks about the sin that easily entangles us. To put it bluntly, being a Christian is hard enough without deliberately sinning as well. And as the letter goes on in chapter 13, the writer, I wish we knew what his name was, it would make him so much easier to talk about, but the person who wrote Hebrews, he's keen to spell out the sort of things he's talking about. He talks about saying marriage should be honored by all. That in the church, there should not even be a hint of sexual sin. And when we get into that sort of thing, when we start looking at things we shouldn't look at, when we start doing things we shouldn't do, when we start getting into relationships that we shouldn't get into, rather than honoring God's plan of one man and one woman for life. When we start getting into that, what we do is we make our Christian life more difficult. It is as if the athlete turned up for the 100 meters final with this backpack with rocks on his back. He would not be able to complete the course. So, the first strategy for the athlete is to get rid of everything that makes things more difficult. The next thing that he says in chapter 13 is keep your lives free from the love of money. When our hearts are set on money, when money is what we want, when that's what's important to us, when success in our career is what matters most to us, when we start to love money more than we love God, we make the Christian life more difficult. And because we make it more difficult, we make the race harder to run. So this year, you know, when you're thinking about what am I going to do, think of yourself spiritually as a highly trained athlete. If you're not that, that's what God wants you to be. That's what God wants the church to consist of highly trained spiritual athletes who are working the right regimes so that we can be fit and healthy. Think of Rob doing the marathon this year. Rob is training. Well, I hope he is. He's still training. Excellent. Of course he's training, because in a few months' time, he's got to run 26 and a bit miles. And he's got to get to that finishing line. Now, suppose Rob was to say, I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to let myself get overweight. I'm going to do all the sorts of things that my trainer's telling me not to do. He won't complete the course. And spiritually, we are called to be those highly trained athletes running for Jesus on the track that God has given to us. So lesson number one is follow the training regime. Don't get tangled up in the things that you shouldn't get tangled up in. Number one, sexual sin. Number two, the love of money, focusing on money rather than God, treating money as if money is more important than God. And both of those are very important. I mean, when we were on the church weekend last year, Ivan was very keen to say that often the church has majored on sexual sin but said very little about money. So the church has been very keen to kick out of the church people who sin sexually, people who have affairs or that sort of thing, people who sleep around, very keen to get rid of them, but actually honoring people who've built up huge bank accounts and are greedy with everything that they've got. Now, I actually believe that both are very important. And I believe that if kind of one of them is more the temptation for you than the other one, then that's the temptation that you need to deal with. And a highly trained athlete sticks to the regime. Before Christmas, there was a feature. You know, you get those few days before Christmas when it's very hard to think of any news, or that's what it seemed like. And they decided to run a feature on what our Olympic athletes were going to do on Christmas Day. And you know, they were all, as far as I could see, saying the same sort of thing. Well, Christmas Day is the day when I won't go out and train. Christmas Day is my one day off. But the rest of it, from then on, from December the 26th, right up to the summer, I will be training every day. I will be following my regime. I will be eating what my trainer tells me to eat. I will be doing what my trainer tells me to do. So the first things we need to get rid of, basically, are anything that's wrong in our sex life and anything that's wrong as far as the way we handle money are concerned. Shed them, says the writer of this letter. They just get in the way. You've got a race to run. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to keep going to the end. And if you carry unnecessary baggage, if you carry unnecessary stuff, then you're not going to be able to run the distance that God has called you to run. The second thing that he says is in our text. It says, let us run with endurance. We've already had the illustration of that in the service today. It's about keeping going. And therefore, we must speak this morning to everybody who is flagging in their zeal for what God has called them to do. You know, some people get tired and you need to slow down for a bit, and that's fine. Sometimes we need to be realistic about what we can and can't do. But I'm talking now to those of us who've lost our zeal. For those of us that there was a time that we were keen to live for the Lord. There was the time we couldn't wait to get to church on Sunday morning because we had so much that we just wanted to praise God for. There was a time when there was an opportunity for us to do something for Jesus. We grabbed it because that's what we wanted to do. And now the years have gone on a bit and we're thinking, this is harder than it used to be. We're thinking, I just want to indulge me for a while. And Jesus says, run the race with endurance. You know, this church has been here for over 20 years. There is a community out there that needs Jesus as much or more than it ever did. there is a town called Brentwood that needs to hear the gospel of Christ. And God has put his church here so that we can bring that community to Jesus. And the great thing is that in the church, there are many people. In the church in this town, there are many people who are saying, we want to serve. We want to give food banks set up in the last year to care for those who are in financial crisis. Moses Bank still going, based from here, one or two other places getting involved as well. Street pastors getting out into the town on a Friday night. Our seniors work, our toddler group. We could go on and on and on. Just remember, this is about running the race. This is about what Jesus has called us to do. This is saying, I will run this race and I will never stop. As we sang, I'll follow Jesus till the day I drop. I've been a Christian for many years, but I am still the debtor to Jesus that I always have been. He has still given me what I could never repay. He still calls me to be part of this great contest in the struggle against sin or the struggle against evil. We must run the race with perseverance. And we must run it when people tell us not to run it. We must run it when people make it hard for us to run it. We must run it where it doesn't seem to be to our advantage to run it. Recognizing that all around the world, our brothers and sisters are running harder races than we do. Let's think for a moment about the church in Egypt. Let me read you something. This weekend is actually Christmas in Egypt because they operate on a different calendar to us. Threats of attacks on Egyptian churches have been issued ahead of Eastern Christmas services this weekend. A senior church leader said that he had received several threats of attacks to be carried out on churches in Nag Hammadi on Christmas Eve. This was the scene of a horrific anti-Christian massacre on the same day in 2010. Six worshippers were killed in a drive-by shooting as they left the Christmas Eve service. Christians in Egypt are particularly vulnerable to attack around New Year and Christmas. The churches have cancelled all their New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve festivities and plan to end their Christmas Eve services earlier than usual. So, brothers in Egypt, what about Laos? A village in Laos where Christian families have been ordered by local authorities to leave their village unless they renounce their faith. The 47 Christians in the village were told that they must give up their faith in Christ and cease all Sunday worship meetings. The official said, if you continue holding on to your faith, then you are forfeiting your right to live in our village and you must move out tomorrow. This is what it is like for our brothers and sisters who are following Jesus. You know, sometimes I think we don't know what tough is. And yet the reality is that for some of us, in our own way, it is very tough following Jesus. There are people in your family who don't want you to do it. There are people in your family who think that you are crazy. There are people at work who feel uncomfortable around a Christian. There are people in the community who don't want the church to prosper. And so we could go on. But we're called to run this race. That no matter what is thrown at us, we say, I will follow Jesus. And then the third thing that he says, so number one is about getting rid of the stuff we need to get rid of. Number two is about endurance. Number three, fix your eyes upon Jesus. To run this race, you must think about Jesus often and much. You must make sure that Jesus is in your thinking every day. You must make sure that you never forget the victory that he won, because Jesus, as Hebrews 12 goes on to tell us, is the one who put up with opposition. He's the one who was scorned. He was the one who was hated. And yet today, he is the one who is victorious. He is the one who has crossed the finishing line, as have many other thousands of Christian believers. But he is the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. And he has won. And when they put him onto that cross and nailed him to it, and the life flowed out of him, and when it looked as if everything that Jesus had done had come to complete failure, God turned round the verdict and God raised Jesus from the dead. And today he lives in victory. And today his church is still spreading the good news of an incredible gospel all around the world. Hallelujah. And we've been called into doing that today. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. It's about him. It's not about us. We haven't come to church today for us to have a fulfilled life. We haven't come to church today for us to have a good life. We have come to church today because Jesus is the victor. We have come to church today because Jesus is victorious over sin, because Jesus is victorious over death. And we still have a track that we must run in. We still have work that God has given us to do. We can still see that finishing line. We can still hear the crowd that's cheering us on, because there are thousands who have gone this way before us and they are now with Christ. And their message to us would be, keep going. You're going to win. One day you're going to be with us. One day it's all going to be over. So in 2012, let's run the race. And we need to know, each one of us, what is the race that God has called us to run? We need to know where God is telling us, this is where I want you to run this year. For some of us, that's very obvious. For some of us, not so. But let's pray for strength today, and let's gather up our wills to say, we will follow. Let's pray together.